We own this country.
We own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. And they're just going to come around and beg for votes every few years, and it's the same old deal. But I just think that it's important that you realize that whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
When your entire culture is under attack, you need the country's number one voice in defense of our American way of life. You need an ally in the fight against tyranny and corruption. You need your weekly dose of Lisa Payne Nager. Missouri Grassroots Radio Network proudly adds our own beauty to America the Beautiful, your own culture vigilante, Ms. Lisa Payne Nager.
Welcome to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and it is a lovely August day. How often do you get to say it's a lovely August day in the middle of August? It's August 14th, 70 degrees here in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area. The weather is fabulous, but it feels like fall. And not only does it feel like fall because of the weather, it feels like fall because everybody's back in school. I've been spending the last couple of weeks getting my kids ready to go off to college. My son left this morning. My daughter leaves on Saturday, and I'm doing that empty nester thing. But most of the schools in my area, all the kids are back in school. They've been in school for at least a week, maybe 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks, at least a week. And it's insanity. I mean, these kids are going back to school in early to mid-August, and I can't believe it. When I was a kid a long time ago, before paper was invented and we were using stone tablets, we didn't go to school until after Labor Day, and now all of these kids are back in school. It's just nuts. So my internal clock is off. I'm still trying to get out of summertime mode and get back into the real world, and I'm kind of discombobulated here a little bit. A lot of things have been going on in the last week or so while I've been busy trying to get my kids ready for school. We have a couple of funny little current events issues that I kind of wanted to start off with tonight. Everybody knows about the rodeo clown, I think. Everybody's kind of read about or heard about the rodeo clown, the Missouri State Fair rodeo clown. Everybody's waited. This is a national news story. Kind of blew up over the weekend. A rodeo clown donning an Obama mask, to great applause, actually, from what I understand, it was very well received during the time, has caused a national controversy here in Missouri, and every politician has weighed in on it, from Claire McCaskill to Republican politicians alike. Everybody has made a statement about how politically incorrect this rodeo clown was for wearing an Obama mask at the Missouri State Fair. And I'm reading an article today from the New York Daily News. Obama rodeo stunt leads to sensitivity training for Missouri State Fair clowns. Controversy erupted Saturday after an event as a spectator linked to a Ku Klux Klan rally. A clown in an Obama mask with a broom handled attached to his backside moved into the arena as another clown called out, "This bull's going to get you, Obama." I mean, unbelievable. So here we are, Missouri State Fair. Rodeo clowns have been wearing presidential masks for years and years, making statements, running through the crowds, running through the rodeo, past the horses and the cows. And this year, a rodeo clown had the audacity to wear an Obama mask, and it has just caused all kinds of controversy. Claire McCaskill was one of the very first people to speak out against this issue, condemning it. And of course, Jay Nixon weighed in, and all the Democrats have weighed in. Peter Kinder, Republican Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, even weighed in, saying how inappropriate this was. But nobody was weighing in when they were wearing Reagan masks or Bush masks or anybody else. But now that we've the Supreme Commander in Chief, the Holy Prophet of the United States government is being mocked. Everybody seems to think that it's just a terrible situation. And the New York Daily News goes on to say, the Missouri State Fair will force rodeo clowns to complete sensitivity training after a clown mocked President Obama in a stunt one spectator linked to the Ku Klux Klan rally. The fair's commission also approved a lifetime ban on the offending clown. So this man will never work in rodeo again. He's been banned from rodeo for wearing an Obama mask. The controversy began Saturday at the state fair in Sedalia. The clown in an Obama mask with a broom handle attached to his backside moved into the arena as another clown called out over the microphone, "This bull's going to get you, Obama. He's going to get you." The fair commission called the stunt unacceptable and approved the measure that would force the Missouri Rodeo Cowboy Association to crack down on everyone responsible. The association would also have to prove all officials and subcontractors, such as the clowns, had successfully completed sensitivity training before working future rodeos. Spectator Perry Beam said everybody screamed and just went wild during the performance. So the only people that were offended, evidently, were the leftist people in the audience. There were maybe a few leftist people in the audience that made us think about it, but evidently the clown was very well received by the crowd. Let's see, it was at this point that I began to feel a sense of fear, Beam 48 said. It was that level of enthusiasm. Seriously? Okay, so on one level, folks, here's the problem with this whole situation. On one level, you've got a little, you know, it's a joke. People have been wearing these masks, you know, since the beginning of time and making fun of elected officials on both sides of the aisle. But now stop and think about what this has done to our culture, where we have a president, and we're not hearing anything from the White House about this. The president doesn't seem to have a problem with this kind of discipline being taken against this rodeo clown for mocking him. Of course, he's not going to say anything about it. But the reality is political correctness has taken over so much of our culture that now we are banning rodeo clowns. This man will never work in the rodeo again. I'm assuming that this is how he made his living. I don't know that for sure. But because he wore a mask, people wear these masks for Halloween. They're all over the place. But if you dare now, it's frightening to think that if you dare poke fun at the president, what are all these comedians, these late night comedians going to do? How soon is it going to get to the point where you cannot joke about the commander in chief for fear of some kind of retaliation? I just don't understand that level of ridiculousness. I condemn the actions disrespectful to the president of the United States the other night, Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, a Republican, tweeted on Saturday, "We are better than this." Well, you know, who was tweeting out support or condemnation when they were, you know, when they had Bush masks on or Reagan masks or even I think they were wearing Hillary Clinton masks. You know, it's never a problem before. And now all of a sudden we have the commander in chief. You know, literally, I think it's very sad, folks. And while this may look like a very lighthearted issue, I think we have to do something about this. I think we actually have to make our voices heard. This poor man has been banned from the rodeo. Future employees in the rodeo are going to be subjected to this ridiculous sensitivity training, which I don't know that sensitivity training ever really did anything for anybody. Maybe it has. I don't know. But it sounds a little silly to me that you can't go to your state fair and go to a rodeo and you have to have sensitivity training to participate in your rodeo. You know, folks, if you let this go, I mean, I know it seems like a silly thing, but if you let this go, you're just setting yourself up for problems later on. I mean, this is just getting absolutely ridiculous and out of hand. You cannot continue to allow this kind of thing to go on. I think we need to set up a support for this poor rodeo clown and to push back and to send letters to this rodeo association and stop this absolute ridiculousness. They need to hear from the people on this. And, you know, for all of the people that attend these rodeos and spend their money at these rodeos, perhaps we should stop spending our money at these state fairs. Maybe that would make a difference. You got to stand up, folks. If you don't stand up, you know, you kind of deserve what you get. So we may work on this. We may try to identify this guy and see if we can't get him on and see if there can't be something done about this. This is just nuts. Another thing I heard, oh, this is great. My daughter actually sent this thing to me. Speaking of the Obamas, the great things coming out of the White House, a story in Independent Journal Review came out today, and Michelle Obama, along with all of her duties, other duties as first lady, is releasing a rap album. And let me see if I can get this to go here. My computer's been acting a little slow lately. Let's see if we can get this to roll here. I'll let you know what this story is about. It's not a joke. First Lady Michelle Obama is releasing a rap album, but she doesn't sing it. Oh, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Doug E. Fresh. I want to know how many of y'all feel healthy.
She doesn't sing the album. The album called Songs for a Healthier America is the latest initiative for her Let's Move campaign to fight childhood obesity. It will feature songs from rap hip-hop artists including Jordan Sparks, Ashanti, Run DMC, Doug E. Fresh, and Monifa. I don't know who Monifa is. Mrs. Obama will have cameos in the music videos of the several songs. And I'm not that surprised, but news of the album is getting mixed reviews. The Daily Beast called the lineup of the artist King of Embarrassing, and others have scoffed at the playlist, which features songs like Veggie Love and Hip Hop Lean. So this is what's coming out of the White House these days, folks. You know, Michelle Obama, with everything she's the White House is concerned for a healthier America, and as they push Obamacare, they're worried about if you're eating your vegetables or not, and if you're doing enough exercise, but you're not going to be able to get health care within the next God only knows how long because we're too busy eating our vegetables and worrying about listening to rap music from Michelle Obama. Crazy, crazy stuff going on, folks, in Missouri and across the country. Just don't even know where to go with that attitude. It's just nuts. Last week we had I sent out a post on Culture Vigilante last week. There was a situation with our friend Emmanuel Goldstein, who's been on the show before. He's got a great website called The Patriot Nation. He and MD have got this great website. And their Facebook page, they have absolutely a very huge reach across the country. They've grown it into tens of thousands of likes and supports across the country. And today I found out that the Red Flag, redflag.net, had a story about this situation. The Facebook banned their page. Again, it was not the first time that they'd banned their page. They'd kicked them off the internet for no particular reason. They were not violating any of the Facebook policies. They're just a conservative page who evidently had a very large reach, and they wanted to kind of put the kibosh to the fact that they were, you know, reaching so many conservatives. You can go to redflag.net and read the story, but basically what it says is an underground group of conservative community organizers has suddenly appeared on the social media scene. The loosely organized group call themselves the American Patriot Coalition, and the coalition is a group of political Facebook pages and blogs dedicated to spreading the truth. The page membership ranges from 1,000 to 300,000 with a fully elected chairman of the board and board of directors, and they're quickly gaining traction and already had a chance to flex their patriot muscles. One of the members, the Patriot Nation, was suddenly removed from the Facebook page on August 8th. Instantly, the coalition members rallied behind the fallen comrade and started campaigning to rebuild the page's following. In less than 24 hours, the new replacement page had already grown to over 10,000 followers. So anyway, you can go to theredflag.net and read the rest of that article there. You can also, I think they have a replacement page for the Patriot Nation. If you have an opportunity, go there. And I'll tell Facebook what you think about their actions there. It's just absolutely ridiculous to continue to ban all of these pages. I've had trouble for several months trying to post conservative articles and links on Facebook pages. They're always cutting me off and shutting me down 28, 48 hours. You know, it absolutely, I think it's a speech issue. Now, and I know Facebook is a public company, But I do think that, again, this is another situation, folks. You have to make yourself heard. You have to let people know what you think. Everybody, Facebook is making money off of your participation on their site. And if you spread conservative values on Facebook and they want to continue to make money off of that, you need to let them know that you're dissatisfied with their actions. So you can go to culturevigilante.com and you can get that post there. And there are links that you can contact Facebook and send them a little message so that they will know that this behavior is no longer acceptable. On the show tonight, we're going to continue with the work on the nuclear waste that's been dumped in the St. Louis and St. Charles County areas. We're going to have Dawn Chapman back on again this evening. She's got some great information. She's got some new data that's come out on the water around the area. And she's also got some information for us tonight about, you know, just exactly which politicians are paying attention to this very important situation of the Westlake landfill area in St. Charles County. They've been working very hard trying to get the word out. I kind of have a feeling, I don't know for sure, but I kind of have a feeling she's going to tell us that they're not getting a lot of traction with the folks in Jefferson City or even Washington, D.C. on this issue. But we'll let her come on a little bit later and tell us about that. And we're going to start off the evening with Ben Evans from Heritage Action. Heritage Action has been working diligently for many, many months on trying to get the word out about this defunding Obamacare situation. And they came out with a new poll this week that might be pretty surprising, and I'm not going to say too much more about that because I got Ben on the line. He's holding on, and we're going to bring him on in a few minutes and let him tell us all about what's going on with the Obamacare issue. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with Ben Evans. No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you are listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. And like I said before the break, we've been following Ben Evans. He is a member of Heritage Action, part of the Heritage Foundation. And Heritage Action, I'll let him explain to you exactly how that works, but they're an arm of the Heritage Foundation, and they are working to provide information and access for citizens to help lobby their legislature so that they can become more effective in getting things done that they want to get done. And they have been working really, really hard on this Obamacare issue. And I mean, we have just a very short window of time to get this Obamacare thing put to death. Let's just put it that way. Without it being put without it being they're trying to defund it, basically, is what's going on. So hopefully they can defund it and we can be done with it, but there's a lot of work to be done. So I'm just going to let Ben tell us what's going on. Thanks for being with me tonight, Ben.
Thanks for having me on, and sorry I'm a little sick, so my voice is a little funny, but
I'll do my best
to present the facts for everybody.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, let's back up. Heritage Action, tell us just a little bit about what that is and how it works.
Sure. So everybody knows Heritage Foundation. I mean, any good conservative knows that organization. They've been around since the early 70s. And interestingly, at the time, we were dealing with a Republican Party that was implementing big government. And that's sort of been our mission from the get-go, is stopping big government, limiting government to its powers within the Constitution. But during the Obamacare fight, Heritage really was having trouble fighting Obamacare, and so they created Heritage Action. And our goal was to take the policies and principles of Heritage and then to apply that to pressure on Congress. And so we do that with a twofold plan. First off, we've got a team in D.C. that lobbies on conservative issues, and then what we do out in the field is we recruit citizen activists and turn them into citizen lobbyists. That's sort of my job out in the field. I want to get you the information that you need to become the most effective constituent you can possibly be, to be as informed as the lobbyists. And there's 33,000 in D.C., and I think that's over 60 per congressman. So, we really need constituents out there talking to their congressmen, letting them know, because some of them aren't all bad. Some of them just don't realize what their constituents want, and, that's partially their bad. That's partially our bad for not being as engaged with our congressmen, but I want to provide the information out there. If nothing else, I want you to be as informed as possible when you're dealing with your congressman.
Okay. So you guys have been very immersed in the Obamacare problem. You guys have been on top of it with every little aspect all along the way. And today you guys released some information. Let's back up a little bit. For a very long time, we've been hearing a lot of excuses from supposedly conservative representatives in Washington, D.C., about why they can't get anything done with Obamacare. We've been watching Boehner do the dance, around getting anything done, and they're caving. And, it's not been a good thing for conservatives. And what did tell us about what Heritage Action has got, the information you've got for us today.
Well, sure. And like I said, Obamacare has been our thing since the get-go, and we've certainly been fighting this for a while. And, Congress has taken votes against Obamacare on repealing many, many, many times, and that's great. It lets us know that our congressmen do care about repealing it, but it hasn't gotten anywhere. And our congressmen have run for the last 3 years on the idea of getting rid of this awful law. And we've finally come down to a point where implementation is just around the corner.
Right.
And we have not been able to stop it completely. I mean, the president stopped it on his own, but we haven't been able to stop it completely. Well, the House has the power of the purse. They're allowed to fund – that's their power. They fund government.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a unique opportunity we have coming up in September. We don't pass budgets anymore under this president. Instead, we pass continuing resolutions to fund the government. So this is our best bet to stop the implementation of Obamacare is through – defunding it in the continuing resolution. Now, there's been many arguments against that, and surprisingly from Republicans, not just Democrats. One of them is the government shutdown, that we'll never survive a fight with the government shutdown. And just so people know, in 96 when that happened, we did lose 9 seats in the House, but we maintained control of the majority, and we also gained 2 Senate seats. And while the President Clinton did win that election, it was Bob Dole against him, and I'm not so sure he was the strongest candidate there. So
right.
we maintained control of the House in 96, and that was over Medicare, not Obamacare. Medicare does not have the negative numbers that Obamacare has. I mean, this is why we're all activists now, is because of situations like Obamacare. So that's been one argument. Another argument's been, and this is what the poll really deals with, is that we will lose in 2014 if we try to push the defund issue. Well, first off, outside of the poll, my thought process behind that is, what good is a majority if our representatives aren't standing on principle? So I could care less about keeping a majority if they're not going to be up there to limit government and to stand up for conservative principles. But beyond
Absolutely.
That, what we found, beyond that, what we found is it's the defund issue is not so unpopular after all. And so this poll that we did, we went through 10 districts that are all moderate, considered moderate districts. Four of them were Democrat, and six of them were Republican. And we looked at the numbers on what people thought about defunding, who they would blame in the situation, and the numbers look great for defund. You know, about 30% would blame Republicans in a government shutdown situation. But another 30% would blame congressional Democrats, and another 30% would blame the president. And so when you add that up, you get 60% of the populace is blaming Democrats and the president for the shutdown. It doesn't look so bad. Some other numbers that we saw in the poll were, I think it was upwards of 41% of Democrats, only 41% support going forward with Obamacare without any changes. So even Democrats are wary about this law and want to see some changes to it. That was the main goal of the poll, to look at these numbers and see whether defund was as unpopular as the establishment and leadership has been telling us. And we found that just not to be true at all.
So what is the next step? I mean, obviously, this is huge news. I mean, they can no longer – I've heard it myself. I've heard them all say, you know, we cannot afford – and I agree with you 100%. You know, what good is it having an elected representation with an R behind their name in Washington, D.C. or Jefferson City, for that matter, if they're not there to actually advance conservative values and conservative ideas in government? So now that they've been all telling us, and I've heard it from – on a state level and a national level, I mean, this is their big excuse that they use for everything. We cannot afford to rock the boat because the election is coming up. And also, I think it's very important to note that the president himself and his minions in Washington, D.C., have been delaying the implementation of Obamacare because they know it's not popular. They know they're waiting for the 2014 elections to go by before they lower the boom. So here's what they tell you.
Exactly. What I would say, and you know, we could certainly put those numbers out there. Heritage Action has the poll up, and so if you go to heritageaction.com, you can find information on that poll. Everybody on my email list has gotten this poll out there, and it's on Twitter, on other places. So I'd encourage people to check out Heritage Action, a press release on that poll, to get the actual numbers, so they can see that it is a legit poll, that it was out there, and we took a good cross-section of Democrats and Republicans in that situation. But obviously, yeah, Numbers and talk aren't enough. You know, we need action. And there's two things that we've been working with activists on prior to the recess this August. The first was, there was a defund Obamacare bill, and that does a lot to deal with the IRS's implementation of Obamacare. And what we did was we key-voted the co-sponsorship of that. Well, there are a number of Missouri congressmen that have signed on to that defund bill, including, I think, Jason Smith, I think signed that bill, Sam Graves. I'm pretty sure Ann Wagner even jumped onto that. But that's not the big issue. The big issue is connecting defund to the continuing resolution. And there's a letter out there from a representative out of North Carolina. His name's Mark Meadows. And he wrote a letter, and it basically says it commits congressmen to tying defund to the continuing resolution. Now, in this situation, we've only got two congressmen from Missouri that have signed on to that, and that is Jason Smith and Sam Graves. Every other one of our congressmen will not commit to defunding Obamacare and the continuing resolution. And so what I would encourage people to do is to call up their congressmen and ask for that specifically. Tie defund to the continuing resolution. And when they put out the arguments there on the government shutdown and that being unpopular and us losing, that's the purpose of the poll that we put out, to give you the firepower you need to combat that. That also reminds me of another argument that's been made, and these are all talking points that these guys get from leadership, and that was that Obamacare is mandatory spending and they can't touch it. Well, there's two arguments with that. First off was what I said before. The House has the power of the purse, bottom line. If they want to defund something, they can defund it. So that's the first part. The second part is almost all of that mandatory spending has already been spent. The money that we're talking about going into the continuing resolution to fund Obamacare is incremental to what was passed before. Basically, they've already spent their money. They need more money to implement it, and that's what they're asking for in the continuing resolution. So this is the best opportunity we have to halt any more implementation of Obamacare. And the thing is if the president does choose to shut down the government, Republicans have to get in front of this. They have to say, look, we passed a bill to fund the government. It is up to the president and the congressional Democrats if they want to shut down the government because they don't want to pass this. And we have to make sure that we're in front of that message and we're saying it's not Republicans that have shut down the government. We passed the bill for it in the House. It is the Senate and it is the President that are refusing to fund the government because they will not sign a bill unless it has funding for Obamacare.
Let's talk a little bit about what shutting down the government really means. So shutting down the government, from what I understand, is really not the be-all and end-all. And I think what the threats that the left is using against the rest of us is that you don't want to defund, you don't want to stop funding your military and some other key interests. And, I mean, do you know anything about that, Ben? I mean, it's not really that big of a deal.
You know, all of the essential functions of government still happen. So Social Security payments, which need to go out to people, you know, security interests, many military operations, all that stuff still happens. There's about 800,000 federal workers, and first off, that should blow your mind that there's 800,000 federal workers
out
there that aren't essential. 800,000 federal workers are non-essential, and so they can be furloughed if there was a government shutdown. But all that stuff still happens. And funny enough, I had an activist down in Arkansas talking to Steve Womack down there. And first Steve Womack said, he was talking about Social Security and those payments will still get out to people. And then he tried to turn around and make the argument that if they had to have a government shutdown, those payments wouldn't go out. That's just not true. All essential functions of government, as much as I would like Social Security not to be an essential function of government, but all essential functions still happen. The one issue for people is the military pay. Now, in a government shutdown, the military will still get paid. It's a question of when. That's what matters. And as long as the president and Senate Democrats are holding our military hostage to fund Obamacare, our military pay, our military personnel hostage to make sure Obamacare is funded, like I said before, we need to be in front of that. We need to say we passed the bill to fund the military. We want to pay our men and women in uniform. It is the president and it is the Senate that are not respecting the power of the House to fund the government that are holding up pay for these people.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of a misnomer anyway. But they're just shame on the our so-called Republicans. I don't want to call them conservatives. Shame on the conservatives for using that scare tactic on the public.
I know, and you know the most disturbing part about that is I was hearing that from Republicans before I was hearing that from Democrats. So, you know, why are Republicans in front of this talking about the downsides to defunding Obamacare before Democrats are even doing it? You know, it's a serious problem with our leadership in Congress. They're not in front of this issue. They don't understand that this is what we want. I mean, 70-some-odd percent voted for Prop C in Missouri.
Right.
So why aren't Blunt and Wagner in front of this issue?
Right.
Both elected in 2010 when we passed that. So, or I guess Ann Wagner wasn't. She was 2012. But you would think they would be in front of that issue because so many Missourians care about that. And if I could just take my Heritage Action hat off for a second and we can talk some Missouri politics with this, that'd be great.
Great. Go ahead.
Well, I've seen some – Heritage has put out some studies on Medicaid and the state health exchanges. Those are both Obamacare. Now, we all know that. And so it drives me nuts that in a state where we pass Prop C, that the House unanimously passes the health exchanges. Thank goodness for people like Jim Lemke up in the Senate at the time that blocked that. But now we're having discussions on Medicaid expansion. We have a supermajority in the House and the Senate in Missouri. Why
are
we even having discussions about Medicaid expansion? It wastes time like mine and yours, Lisa. We're out there fighting other issues and trying to advance other conservative issues like Common Core. Or that's not a conservative issue, but we're trying to stop Common Core. You know, little things like we can't even ban red light cameras in the state. And we get caught off guard every time they bring up Medicaid expansion. It just blows my mind that they're even discussing this issue.
Yeah, and again, Ben, I mean, I agree with you. I've seen you make this point in public several times. And I'm telling you, the Republicans in Missouri fly this flag because they think it's a great thing. But what good are they? You know, what good is it to have a supermajority in the state or anywhere else when they're not toeing the line? And this Medicaid expansion thing, people, you can go to
I think Show Me Institute just put out a study on it. Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick Ishmael, the Show Me Institute, just put something out today. I got that email from Darren. And people do not understand that the Medicaid expansion thing is Obamacare. And, you know, the political geeks like us who read all the blogs and who follow this on a daily basis understand that. But, you know, my next-door neighbor and the person across the street and down the hall and whatever from your apartment complex, they do not understand that they're going to get hit with this. And they need to wake up and contact their legislature, because they did probably vote, since we had a huge turnout, 70% of the voters voted against Prop C. It's the same thing.
Yep.
So.
And it's disheartening to see our legislators make votes like that. What I can argue is the same thing that I'm doing with Heritage Action applies to the state legislature.
Right.
We have to, as constituents, make sure we're in communication with our legislators. If there were more of us up in Jeff City talking with them about Medicaid expansion and about the state health exchanges, other implementations of Obamacare, I think that we could make a big difference. And that's not always, you know, a lot of times we get frustrated as activists and we want to yell at our legislator.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be so stupid to push something like that. But, you know, we really do have to be better at being cordial with them. As hard as that is sometimes, we do have to build a relationship. That's what lobbyists are doing in D.C. and in Jeff City. You know, they're being friendly with the legislators. They're trying to push their issue, but they're doing it in a manner that's not abrasive. And that's something that we've got to learn as activists. You know, we've seen the last 6 years, you know, the powers of government growing exponentially and our liberties decreasing exponentially. Even when that's happening, even in the face of that, we have to make sure that we're being as professional as possible when we're dealing with our legislators. And a lot of that's being as informed as we can possibly be when we talk to them. And that's the sort of thing that we want to do at Heritage Action. We want you to be as informed as possible when you're dealing with your legislator.
Absolutely. Okay, Ben, you have a couple of events coming up in the St. Louis area. You want to plug those?
Sure. So on Thursday, tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Russ Vogt, the political director at Heritage Action, he's the brains behind our scorecard. Another great thing people should check out at Heritage Action if they haven't. But he is going to be in town to talk about what our team does in D.C. and about our scorecard and about defunding Obamacare. That will be at Hacienda at 7 o'clock. It's on Manchester, I believe in Webster Groves. But at 7
mm-hmm.
o'clock, Hacienda, Russ Vogt will be there. It's a sort of Heritage Tavern / St. Louis Tea Party event. And so
the best Mexican food in St. Louis.
Yeah, I would say so. I would absolutely agree with that. But so that's going on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. People are certainly welcome to come, and I'd encourage them to support a great establishment like Hacienda. And then not so much in this area, but if people want to go in Fayetteville, Arkansas, especially if you have listeners down in Billy Long's district. In Fayetteville, Arkansas, on Monday the 19th, that's next week, Jim DeMint is going to be starting his tour to talk about defund Obamacare. You can go to the Heritage Action website and look up the town hall. That should be one of the more prominent things on there. But RSVP for that and show up to that down in Fayetteville. I believe it starts at registration starts at 6 p.m. at the barn in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I know that we're getting close to capacity, so if that's something people are interested in, they'll want to make sure they check that out. And they can always contact me if they want more information, ben.evan@heritageaction.com. You know, I will answer as soon as possible on any questions people may have.
And the easiest way for people to get the scorecard?
The easiest way to get the scorecard is online. That's the best way to look at it. I've got hard copies, and it gives the scores. But it's a really detailed scorecard, heritageactionscorecard.com, or just go to heritageaction.com and look for the scorecard tab. But you can dig through. You can see each of the votes that we have out there, and you can pick up individual congressmen and see how they're voting. And that's actually a really effective tool when you're talking to your congressman.
For every congressman across the country?
For every congressman across the country. And just so you know, Boehner is like a 0% on there. That's not because he's...
Boehner's not
my favorite speaker in leadership. But speaker doesn't usually vote, so that's why his score is zero. But you can go through and you can look at people and see how conservative they actually are. Sometimes you'll be surprised. I love Alan West, but he was about a 67% on our scorecard because he had some
bad
fiscal votes. You know, none of our Missouri, I think a couple of them are over 80%. Our lowest person last term was Joanne Emerson at 47% and Blaine Lukemeyer at 55%. So we certainly need to make sure that we're communicating with at least Blaine on that. And
yeah,
then,
so 55%, that's a failing grade. I mean, you know, you've got, at best, you've got a B student in Missouri.
Yeah.
That's
He's
not good.
He's not a big fan of us either, from what I hear.
I wonder
it's
why.
It's understandable. It's understandable when you're not doing so well on conservative issues. But
yeah.
That's what we do. I mean, we're out there to hold these guys accountable at Heritage Action. Our new president, Jen DeMent, who was a 99% on our scorecard last session, along with Mike Lee, another great guy. You know, he's committed to this idea of making sure that we've got conservatives and that we're advancing conservative issues. And that's what we do.
All right. Very good. Heritage Action, log on, check out the scorecard, show up at those events. Ben, thank you so much, and I hope you'll come back on again soon. I would love to hear if there's any pushback or any feedback on this poll. This is an amazing poll. Certainly takes all of the excuses away now from all of those weasels up in Washington, D.C. who have been hiding behind those excuses.
Yep. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Okay, we'll talk to you again soon, Ben Evans of Heritage. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the folks from the Westlake Landfill.
Yeah, well, the thing that people need to realize is economics, you know, is not about numbers. It's about humans. It's a very significant component to what makes us human. It's a very different program. It's called Getting There From Here, and it's about it's about building a roadmap to restoring constitutional governance in the United States. It's about how we can win elections nationwide with conservative small government principles. It's about how to build and broaden a coalition, a majority coalition that's committed to having a smaller government. And then the second night, I call dismantling the monstrosity. And it's about how practically to shrink the federal government, I mean really shrink the federal government, via the Republican Party, but we need a much, much smarter Republican Party, and one that's not scared of its own shadow. We need to have people who are seriously committed to constitutional principles, to family values, to a smaller government, running the Republican Party. And we need to have strategies, which is what the whole seminar is about, where we can make sure the benefits of smaller government are going straight to people. If you remember my first seminar, I love analogies. And in the first one, I talk a lot about cancer, how the government has really become a cancer that's consuming our economy. And in this one, I talk a lot about alcoholism, which is a very different disease. But politicians get to Washington and they become alcoholics. And, you know, they can't understand how they could do anything but grow the government. And, you know, it's like we need to have an intervention with the government. We need to say, you know, you're out of control. You are an alcoholic. And you tell that to your congressman, and he's like, well, you know, we're gonna phase out my alcohol consumption over the next 10 years. But, you know, first, you know, I just ran out of scotch, so first thing I got to do is go to the liquor store. And then when I come back, we can talk about how we're going to, you know, phase out my drinking problem. That's where most people in Washington are holding right now. So it's about the necessity of eliminating government programs instead of cutting them. Because when you cut government programs, they just grow faster. The great divide in the Republican Party seems to be between a few hundred Republicans in Washington, on one hand, and everybody else. The millions and millions of Republicans all over the country really want to have a smaller government.
Folks, you just heard Lauren Spivak, the free market warrior. He's returning to St. Charles County here on August 29th and 30th at the Family Vision Library for two nights of a free seminar so that you can learn about capitalistic values and free market principles. Bring your kids, bring your family, bring your friends, and join us at the Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive, St. Peters, Missouri, on August 29th and 30th at 6:30 p.m. Go to Missouri Grassroots Coalition.org
For information on this event, it's all there on the calendar page, and I'll see you at the Family Vision Library on August 29th and 30th with Lauren Spivak.
Hello, it's Dave, and I'm here to tell you that on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, we talk about the Fair Tax on the Fair Tax Show. That Saturday night at 7 o'clock on Missouri Grassroots Radio, we explode the myths, we tell the truth, we get to the bottom of this tax code that ought to be the one to replace the IRS. Get involved in the discussion. Learn everything there is to learn. 347-677-1835, Saturday, 7 o'clock p.m., Missouri Grassroots Radio.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
And we're back. This is Lisa Payne Nager. You're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, folks, you have been probably one of the first people across the country to know and understand what is going on here in the Midwest, here in the St. Louis area. Actually, the whole St. Louis region has been dealing with an issue here that has not received a lot of media attention. It should be, because it's one of the biggest natural disasters, or unnatural disasters, I guess is what I should say, probably in the nation's history. We have got a huge nuclear waste issue here in the St. Louis region that is affecting the entire outlying area, and it's the Westlake landfill. Now, a lot of people understand that there has been nuclear waste stored out in the St. Charles County area, that's a suburb of the St. Louis area, since the Second World War. And Weldon Spring had a huge controversy over the leaking of the nuclear waste in the Weldon Spring area probably about 10-15 years ago. Well, that's not the only area. There have been other areas in the St. Louis area that have been just contaminated with nuclear waste, and we've had Dawn Chapman on the last couple of weeks to tell us about it. She's got some new information for us about the water issue, how this affects the water here in the area, and we're going to talk a little bit maybe about who's paying attention to this, and why are we not getting attention from the politicians in the area. Thanks for being on with us again, Dawn.
No problem. Thank you, Lisa, for having us on. It's just great to be able to talk about this and get this information out.
And I also want to mention, there's been so many people that you have been working with over the past, I don't know how long you guys have been together to do the research and get this information out, but we are also joined by David Streckler and then again this week with Janelle Wright. And I know you've worked closely with both of those individuals. They're here with us this evening as well.
They are. It's amazing how much time. You know, I met David one time at the EPA meeting, and Janelle and I have met off and on, but it's just amazing how people have come together over this one issue, and we've almost become like family. It's, you know, we see each other online, and you think that's funny, but when you're fighting for a cause like this, you
right.
get so emotionally involved. You really do form strong bonds. So.
Well, this is beyond serious. This is just an amazing situation. You've been on the last couple of weeks talking about the history of how this nuclear waste was dumped here in the St. Louis area, and how the development of the health issues and the people that have been contaminated over the generations. This is a generational issue, and it affects everybody in the region. It's not just an isolated area.
It's not, you know, the pathway from which, you know, this is radioactivity we're talking about. You know, it can go in the wind, it can get in the water. It's the different ways that people can be exposed to this stuff. Yeah, I mean, it really is a regional issue, and it's already affected countless generations. You know, it may be too late for this generation, the people that have grown up around here. You know, that's yet to be determined, because as the days go on, we learn more and more about Westlake, and all these issues keep cropping up. And I'm telling you, just this week, we've got this tremendous water issue now that's cropped up. And, you know, when you think of what sits at Westlake, we know it's nuclear weapons waste and we know it's radioactive, but specifically, what is it that's under the ground in Westlake that was dumped illegally? What is it that sat out on Laddie? Even after 40 years, we're still trying to answer that question. So,
just what was out there?
Right. What was out there? What was out there at Weldon? I mean, you know, it's
still there.
It is still there. It's going to be there for an eternity. I mean, you know, that nice little thing they built out there, you got to hope some of this stuff has a half-life of what? 2 million years? You got to hope nothing happens to it in that time.
Right. And about 10 or 15 years ago, that was an issue. There was a lot of hubbub, and it was quietly squelched about the water issue out here in the St. Charles County area and what it was doing to the residents out here. You know, those, of course, the government says that containment cell is completely safe, but we know for a fact that it's not safe, and that they also know that the containment cell is leaking, and we live here at the conflux of two of the largest rivers in the United States, the Missouri and the Mississippi River, and so the water issue is a big one.
I can't stress it enough. We're seeing radioactivity in Westlake's groundwater that we don't know where it's coming from. Everything, if they make a list of everything that they think is sitting up at Westlake, it's like this. If you have apples, grapes, and oranges up in Westlake, then you're going to have apple juice, you're going to have grape juice, and you're going to have orange juice in the water well. Well, it's like this. We're testing the water, and we're finding pineapple juice. And we're saying, wait a minute. How can there be pineapple juice? Where's the pineapples? So now as residents, we're having to dig through all these documents and say, okay, did Mallinckrodt ever process pineapples? Did pineapples ever end up anywhere in Missouri that they would have gotten in this landfill? How is this happening? We assume and we hope that the EPA is doing the same, but at the same time, they're not coming forward and sharing with us what they're doing to find these answers. So it's kind of on the community to kind of find them right now.
So there's been a new study released, and what exactly have you found that's been going on with the water in the area of Westlake?
We know that the groundwater on top of the landfill is contaminated, that radiation is, they call it leaching, it's leaking into the groundwater. Well, all that groundwater goes straight into the Missouri River. Mm-hmm. I mean, it you know, as the river rises, so does the water level. This has probably been happening for some time. I mean, it's
for 40
extremely
years.
Yeah, it's extremely upsetting to think that this has been allowed to happen. You know, that's what blows my mind. This has been allowed to happen.
Has there been any testing done in the Mississippi River and the Missouri River?
You know, that's a really good question, and to my knowledge, no. And even if Westlake didn't have a problem, which obviously it does, it's in the groundwater, that, what you just suggested, should have been done given what has happened at Coldwater Creek. You know, Coldwater Creek goes into the Missouri River. Janelle, I'm correct about that, right?
Yes.
I mean, and then right there goes into the Mississippi. So they know that this stuff got into Coldwater Creek and was in it for a significant amount of time. That should have occurred already. That's something that they should have looked into.
And we know it was in the creek for decades.
Do you guys have documentation that they've tested Coldwater Creek and they have radioactive signs of the water there?
We do know they've tested Coldwater Creek and found radioactive isotopes. The reports put together by the FoodsRAP folks, the Army Corps of Engineers, formerly Life Sites Remediation Action Program, I think it is, and you can find that all online on the Army Corps of Engineers website. But they had 6, I believe it was, monitoring stations, but it was close to the original piles. They were mostly concerned on measuring what was happening in the creek close to the piles. They knew it was, you know, leaching into the creek. Every time it rained, the rain was falling on these piles and then draining into the creek. So they knew it was in there. And you can go back and read on their website all the reports showing the radionuclides that were, you know, found in that, you know, portion near the headwaters there of Coldwater Creek by the piles. What hasn't been released to the public or possibly hasn't even been tested, we don't know, is what, you know, has happened over the years as far as detailed testing north of Highway 270, which is where you hit residential areas along the creek up to the Missouri River. We also don't know then after the Missouri has a confluence with the Mississippi, shortly after Coldwater Creek, you know, drains into the Missouri, is the Chain of Rocks, you know, water treatment plant. We do not know what has been tested there and what has gone on, because theoretically those radionuclides should have flown right by there with the lay of the land and the water flow.
Wow. Okay.
But what we do know, as citizens, is just amazingly through the marvels of Facebook, we have more than 3,000 citizens who have come forward in this day and age where, you know, with HIPAA and all of this, have volunteered on their own, unconnected with the other people of the 3,000, their particular issues that have affected, you know, themselves or their family that are horrific, that are linked to ionizing radiation in almost every case.
And when you take that into consideration, you say, where are the politicians?
Yeah, exactly. That's my next question. So you guys have documentation, you have testing, you know that there are radioactive isotopes in the drinking water, pretty much, right?
No. Right. We don't have proof necessarily, but we have proof of further up, you know, near the headwaters of all of the drinking water, so to speak. You know, we know what's flowing by where they're collecting drinking water, so one would assume it would have found its way there at some point.
Has anybody asked for that documentation from all of these water suppliers for documentation on whether or not that there's any radioactivity in the water?
Not at this point from my side.
Well, and I say, I know back when we first kind of got onto this about 2 years ago, were submitted to the Chain of Rocks water treatment people, not by myself, but somebody else in the Facebook group, and they were told that the water not tested for radioactive isotopes.
They don't bother
to
test
it. That's what they were told. That's what they were told by people who worked at the Chain of Rocks, you know, water treatment plant. But, I mean, who knows? I don't know if it was the, you know, top person they were speaking with there or if it was somebody, you know, who was a gatekeeper, so to speak, who might not have known that information. I do not know. But that needs to be investigated further, most definitely.
Okay. Well, we have a caller. We have Janelle, David, and Dawn on the line, but we have another caller, so I'm going to add them to the group as soon as I can get their mic to go on. So, hello, caller. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Margie in Chicago. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Great. Well, I actually grew up in Florissant. I grew up playing in Coldwater Creek, and I followed this issue very closely because I still have lots of family in Florissant and the Bridgeton area and friends. My parents are still there and a few sisters. And I have just been appalled, I have to tell you, the more I learn. It's just unbelievable to me that this hasn't been dealt with. It's unbelievable to me that our government leaders have not been more responsive as this issue has escalated. And the question I have for Janelle and for Dawn, because I know that they've been really very involved in dealing with our government leaders on this, I saw that yesterday Matt Lavanchi, I believe his name, is a firefighter in the Pattonville Fire District, assistant chief, I believe, in Pattonville, went public, went to the media even, and said that he was very, very concerned about the lack of planning and very concerned about the potential for this emergency to occur because of the fire at the Bridgeton landfill. And I'm just wondering, I mean, to me it seems rather unprecedented that a firefighter would have to go to the media to ask for more urgency. He actually said there needs to be more of a sense of urgency from this. It's just appalling to me that a firefighter would have to ask the media for attention to something when the government is ignoring it. And I'm just wondering if Janelle and Dawn have any sense of why our government is not being more responsive to citizen concerns and to this public health emergency that seems to be emerging here.
I think I can answer that.
just this week, we had a couple articles come out that talked about a link between our county executive, Charlie Dooley, and the PR person that works for Republic, the owner of the landfill. And that's really upsetting to even go to that place, you know, because what is happening here, you know, Matt Levancy, he stuck his neck out, and he should be commended for that. But that's something that had the potential to blow back in his face because, yeah, I mean, the fire, you know, somebody, he had to go to the media and get that attention and get that sense of urgency put on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as just a community person, even if I wasn't involved in that, and I picked up the newspaper and I read that article, it would make my stomach turn. But knowing what I know and being involved in this right now, I tend to think there may even be more ties than that going on. It does not make sense why these officials will not get behind this. What happened at Coldwater Creek is so horrific. One day they will write a book about it. I mean, it is just, you can't even wrap your head around it. And to know that that stuff is sitting up at Westlake and it's nothing's being done, it doesn't
make sense. They've taken action at Coldwater Creek. That's the thing. That's the thing that blows all of our minds is that, you know, our government has spent hundreds of millions of dollars remediating the Coldwater Creek, you know, nuclear weapons waste piles. And now the Army Corps of Engineers is working on beginning to test the sediment of Coldwater Creek north of Highway 270 where the residents live. That's wonderful. They're remediating it. They're working on it. Why? This is the same waste. They moved a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it, over to Westlake starting in 1973. It's the same waste. Why, if they're cleaning it up in the Coldwater Creek area, are they not, you know, working on this issue with the Bridgeton landfill when you have the fire so close to it?
And why is a private company driving the process so much? Why is a private company, Republic Landfill, why are they being allowed to drive a process that really should be, the public interest should be being served, and a private company is being allowed to tell us how this is going to go? That's been just appalling to watch.
I agree 100% with that.
It really is sickening. And, you know, speaking of a private company, that company came out with a contingency plan today, part of a contingency plan for what to do if this fire should move tomorrow, how to keep it from hitting the waste. I called the Department of Natural Resources and the Attorney General today and had lengthy conversations with both offices, and I had two questions for both. I said, number one, when will we have a working contingency plan for if this fire moves? Neither one of those agencies had an answer to that question. So as of right now, if that fire moves tomorrow, there is absolutely no plan in place. They do not know what they will do to stop that fire from hitting the waste. Number two, I said, okay, I want to know, let's say the fire moves tomorrow and something has to be done. Will one of those two agencies take this away from Republic Services? Who is the one that says, okay, we have an emergency situation and this is what we're going to do? Now, right now it would be held, Republic would be responsible because they're in charge of the landfill, but from a community standpoint, we want that taken away. We want somebody else to come in and take control of this and do what needs to be done. And they didn't have an answer for that either. So,
well, let me ask you guys. I know that last week we discussed contacting your state representatives. Has anybody heard from anybody in Jefferson City about this? Is anybody interested in this? David?
I've sent out numerous emails, and all I get is a robo-reply.
Really?
There are a couple of state representatives who have shown an interest in this. Keith English out of Florissant has actually been active on this. Even when he was a Florissant councilman, he was very interested in this and was made a resolution from out of Florissant because they were very concerned because of Florissant drinking water. So I know that he is one, and Dawn, you're probably aware of a couple others who have actually been proactive.
Right. State Representative Bill Otto has actually come forth and asked for the emergency removal of the radioactive waste. So he is, to my knowledge, other than Keith English, which Keith Keith passed a resolution, Keith English and Bill Otto are the only two in this area. And then there was Maria Chappelle Nadal, was a senator, also tried to pass the resolution as well. Other than that, nobody will come out and talk about removal of the radioactive waste. You cannot get that sentence out of any of their mouths. We're watching the situation. We're having meetings. We're talking with the EPA. We're doing this and that. Nobody, but now your assistant fire chief did come forward and say that the radioactive waste needed to be removed. It is just puzzling. I cannot understand. Because we've had significant letter writing campaigns, you know. At this point, I'm like, well, it may be time to get a group together and actually go and ask in person and stand outside of offices.
Well, let me ask you this: when Bill Otto, responded to you folks, what did he do? Who did he actually, ask to have think? What's his response? Resolutions really don't mean anything. People can pass resolutions all day long. It's just a yank doodle. Here I'm politicking with you and showing you that I care when I'm really not going to do anything about it. But what did Bill Otto do for you folks?
Bill Otto stood up in front of a camera and he asked the EPA. He asked the EPA declare an emergency situation and do an emergency removal of it. And their response, the EPA's response was, an emergency situation to them would be when the community is already being impacted.
Well, people are dying. Yes.
Well, they do not, and that's the thing. Going back to this Coldwater Creek, and as you said, Weldon and the illnesses out at Weldon, people do not want to acknowledge that this has even happened in the past. They don't even want, I can't find one. Maybe Janelle has one. I can't find somebody who will come out and say, oh, it is awful what happened at Coldwater Creek. A politician, somebody in an elected office.
They can't, because if they do say that, then that opens up a can of worms that they don't want to deal with, apparently.
Exactly.
But we have all of the documentation. I can bring you on tours of all my friends' headstones. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, and I don't know if there is a precedent for the for a landfill fire near illegally dumped nuclear waste, and no one really does know what would happen if that fire reaches that massive amount of nuclear waste. What kind of toxic nuclear smoke could blanket the St. Louis area, and what the result could be of that? I mean, what is going to be the result? Nobody knows what will be the result of the nuclear isotopes in the smoke that could be going over the St. Louis area, and that is why a Pattonville fire assistant chief went to the media, and he said, if that fire gets to the radioactive material, which I'm not going to say is going to happen, but there's a potential there for something very tragic to happen in this area, and that is a quote from the assistant fire chief in the Pattonville Fire Protection District. That is what he said yesterday. I mean, that is the Pattonville fire assistant chief saying he's losing sleep over this, and why the government is not acting, I just can't understand.
They passed legislation for much worse things than a fire hitting a nuclear waste dump, so I don't know why they're not giving this any attention. We have another caller on the line. I'm going to bring him on. Hold on a second here. Hello, caller. 314 caller, 229.
Hi, Lisa. This is Karen Nickel.
Oh, hi, Karen. How are you? Welcome to the program. And,
thanks. I just wanted to chime in just a bit. I've been listening as well, and, like Don and Janelle both have said, it's time to move on this. And the politicians, someone needs to come and stand up for us and do what's right here. We have people dying, and we have a strong threat right now of, the unknown. And when you have the unknown, you have so much fear and anxiety. And, it's time. It's time to get this moving.
Sure. Okay, so I want to kind of go back to the Bill Otto issue. So Bill Otto, he addressed the EPA in writing, I'm assuming, and got slapped back. Does he have any intention to, has anybody talked to him in recent days? Does he have any intention to pursue this in any at any further length?
He is meeting behind the scenes with some of the congressional people and some of the senators. He is trying to get, the people in his party behind him. He attended the prayer vigil this morning that we had right outside of the landfill, and it's something that obviously he's become very passionate about, but not even just that. You know, it's the right thing to do, and, you know, the science behind this, the funny thing is that I have yet to meet one person, even a politician, I think, if you sit down and just give me an hour, maybe even half an hour, to look over this and really educate and find out what's there, it's not a difficult decision. And I think a lot of times, environmentally, politicians are afraid to make that stand. You know, they don't want to be labeled an activist or a tree hugger. This is different.
Well,
this
is far from tree hugging, yeah.
Right.
This is not
what
I would consider
tree hugging. Every political party, every race, every religion joining together on this. That's what's so interesting. I mean, if you start looking at all the people who are so investing their time and energies, they come from the whole spectrum of life, and that to me is very telling. How urgent it is.
No. Okay, so what's next on your agenda? What are you suggesting that folks can do to help get the word out about this situation?
You know, we're still asking for the letters and the emails and the phone calls, but you know, to a certain extent, we're ready to kind of get groups together. We have a community meeting next week on Thursday, the 22nd, at 6:30, up at the local operating engineers hall, right across from the landfill. But one of the things that we're going to be talking about there, besides just the catching everybody up, is how to get this moving. And like I said, one of the things is getting groups of people together and showing up outside of offices, getting groups and driving to Jeff City. You know, there's a lot of numbers on the Facebook pages, and there are a lot of community, supporters here. It's time to kind of show up and do more than write a letter. I think that, these politicians are feeling like we're keeping it a little safe right now. You know, they can answer when they want.
Sure.
It's different when people, like Janelle says, the people of Coldwater Creek that have lost children and stuff, it's different when somebody stands outside of your office with a picture of their little girl that died of a brain tumor. You know, it's different.
That's
it becomes real then, and it is sad. But, they need to. They need to look at those faces, at those pictures, and they need to look those mommies in the eye. I mean, I think that's when you start getting movement. It's almost, I don't want to say shame them, but,
I've always said, it's time to turn up the heat.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so please give me the information on the Facebook pages so people can find out information about how to contact you folks.
Right. It's West Lake Landfill, three separate words, and then Coldwater Creek, just the facts. And then
you have a great web page, too.
We do. It's STLRadWasteLegacy.com. And it's up to date, and it has links on it, too, which is really great. You can link to all of the information and the articles and the documents. We're constantly putting documents on there so that people can educate themselves and understand where we're coming from.
It would be a very good idea, folks, if you want to contact your legislature, you can go to culturevigilante.wordpress.com, and in the sidebar is a copy and paste list of every email of every state legislature in Jefferson City. So every state legislator in Jefferson City. You can copy and paste that into your address field in your email documents, and you can also copy the link of the website, St. Louis RAD, and send your legislators an email and point out to them all of the facts and the documentation that they have listed there. They need to hear from numbers of people. Politics is all about numbers. You either have money or you have votes. And they listen to whatever's the biggest one, or the biggest number, whether it's the money or the votes. And they will listen to you folks if enough of you take the time to send an email. And it's easy to do. And all of the, if everything is laid out for you right there on the web pages and on the Facebook pages, please take just a few minutes of your time, because this does not just deal with Florissant or St. Charles County. This is nuclear waste that is leaching into the groundwater, and it could possibly be polluting the air in short order if the fire jumps the barriers and goes to the nuclear waste underground. This is serious stuff, folks, and this is going to explode into a huge national story, hopefully before it becomes a giant catastrophe. Let's see if we can stop this thing. So, right, so Don Chapman, David Streckler, Janelle Wright, Margie, and Karen Nickel, thank you so much for coming on again this evening. We will continue to follow this story as things develop. There's so much information to get out about this. You can contact these folks through the Facebook pages and through the website. Dawn, have I hit everything tonight that we want to hit?
You have. Thank you so much for your time on the show, Lisa. Thank you for giving us this opportunity.
You are awesome.
Yes,
you're
thank
so
you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Lisa, very much.
I'm very glad to be of whatever little help that I can be. I've done this kind of thing before. It's so hard to get the ball rolling on these issues, and this is really important. I mean, we've got a lot of important things going on in our state and in our nation, but my God, this is a nuclear disaster of huge proportion, and it cannot be ignored. So thank all of you for all of the work that you've done as individual citizens to come together and dig and get this information out so it can be shared. Thank you so much, and I hope you'll come back on again as soon as you are able to find anything new next week or whatever. You're welcome here anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and wrap it up.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details. Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for grass fire alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve, because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over,
when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
We're back. We're going to wrap it up for this week, folks. We'll have a great lineup for you next week. I think we have some information from the Missouri Precinct Project that we'd like to try to get to you next week. And we're going to try to get Emmanuel Goldstein and MD on from the Patriot Nation to talk about their issues with the Facebook thing. A couple things I want to leave you with. Again, the great Lauren Spivak, the Free Market Warrior, I want to remind you about that again. He's coming to St. Charles County on August 29th and 30th. He will also be at various locations around the state in September. You can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the calendar page and get that information there. Please come out to St. Charles County on the 29th and 30th. It'll be a great time. If you have never seen Lauren Spivak, he was here in April, and it was a fabulous, fabulous couple of evenings talking about the free market economy, which you wouldn't think would be necessarily a very interesting topic to spend a couple of evenings on, but it was fabulous. Don't miss it. He's coming back on August 29th and 30th at the Family Vision Library in St. Peter's. Get that information at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. And I also want to let you know, we are here fighting in Missouri to have a bill overridden here that was vetoed by our governor, Governor Jay Nixon. The Missouri House and Senate passed legislation this year to lower the Missouri taxes. And it's kind of a big deal here in Missouri. We've been trying to fight it. The governor vetoed it, of course. And, you know, there's a lot of hullabaloo about why he vetoed it and whatnot. But the folks at Grow Missouri are hosting an event, and they're bringing in Rick Perry from Texas to talk about this very important issue, to help Missourians lower taxes here in Missouri, and maybe talk about how they have their tax structure in Texas, which is pretty cool. They don't have sales tax in Texas, the way I understand it. So, again, on August 29th, from 5 to 7, so you can drop in, see Rick Perry on August 29th. He'll be at the Doubletree Hotel on Swingley Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, and then you can buzz over to the Family Vision Library. Just head up Highway 94, and you'll be able to zip up there real fast now that the construction is all finished. You can see Lauren Spivak on August 29th and then come back on August 30th to see Lauren Spivak for the second evening. And that'll be a great way to spend a Thursday and a Friday evening, folks, helping Missouri lower their taxes and learn about the free market economy. You can't beat it. I think that probably does wrap it up for us. Please stop by MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You heard earlier in the program we were talking about our Secret Santa promotion. Last year we raised $1,000 to help several Missouri families across the state provide a good Christmas for their kids, even though they were financially not able to do so. We went to several department stores and paid off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve so that they could provide toys for their kids on Christmas Eve. Help us do that. Just send us a couple of dollars. PayPal, check, money order. We don't need a huge donation. Just a couple of dollars out of your pocket. It's going to be a tough year for a lot of folks. Obamacare kicks in October. Things are not going to be good for several families. We don't want that to affect the kids. So send us just a few dollars so that we can go do that for kids again this Christmas Eve. And we sure would appreciate your help. We thank everybody last year who donated, all of the great patriots from Missouri and elsewhere who helped us to do that program. We were so proud to be able to do that, and we really did enjoy helping those families. Join Cynthia Davis on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. here on Missouri Grassroots Radio for Homefront. And as you heard earlier, Dave is hosting a fair tax show on Saturday evenings. Learn everything that you need to know about the fair tax. He's very knowledgeable about that and a very staunch supporter of the fair tax. So that's a great show as well. And again, we will be back here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here with Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. So join us again here next week at that time. And until then, folks, work the favorite country.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.